Regardless of delay, Parliament has finally begun proceedings on the floor following an emergency recall to consider the nominations of three Supreme Court judges, two ministerial nominees, and the Banks and Specialized Deposit Taking Institutions Amendment Bill. Let's cross over live to our parliamentary correspondent, Kweku Asante, for the latest. Kweku, bring us up to speed with the happenings on the floor. Hello, Kweku.
Hello, Gemma. Just about 15 minutes to the top of the hour, 6, Speaker of Parliament, Alban Bagbin, walked in and gavelled the House in session. He zoomed right into business right after the prayers, explaining to members of Parliament why he had to recall the House. And for the first time, we know that this recall has been at the instance of President John Dramani Mahama, who by a letter dated 11th August requested Parliament to sit urgently within this recess to consider what he termed very urgent and important national matters. According to the Speaker, he considered this request and found it to be worthy of recalling Parliament. And so the next day, 12th August, he caused that recall letter that we've seen since to be published, and that is why members of Parliament are sitting today. If you look at the business statement, and that is prior to the Speaker of Parliament speaking, a number of business have been advertised. What we already know to be the so-called urgent business that Parliament had to consider. Obviously, the top of the agenda, the two ministerial nominees that he has made, Mahama Yar'Adua to the local government ministry, Dr. Zanetto Ajiman Rawlings to the Environment, Science and Technology Ministry. The President has also nominated three persons to be Supreme Court justices. The Judicial Council and the Council of State have all advised the President as to the suitability of these persons. Justice Sophia Benasco Asante, Justice Sophia Rosetta Benasco, Justice Edward Asante Amwako, and also Attorney Anan Forsen. Tony Forsen, is the former president of the Ghana Bar Association. Edward Amwako Asante is a Court of Appeal judge, but also served quite a long career on the ECOWAS Court, as well as Justice Rosetta Sophia Isab Benasco. Benasco's nomination is obviously very interesting because President Akufo-Addo, for those who paid attention, nominated her to be a Supreme Court Justice. In fact, she was vetted by the Appointment Committee. They recommended her approval by a majority decision, but the minority then, who are now in the majority, the NDC, blocked that approval because they will not let that motion be taken on the floor because they said the President needed to wait for the election so that a new President will come and appoint new judges to the court. And so the President has nominated her again. And then, according to the President's letter, there's also the very important matter of the Banks and Specialized Deposit-Taking Institutions, that law that currently regulates banks and microfinances and all of those. Government is proposing an amendment, and the government thought it was very important for Parliament to reconsider that bill within this vacation. The Speaker says he is not going to allow any other business except this business. But if you look at the business statement, a business having to do with the anti-LGBTQ bill has been listed for reconsideration. We know that the Speaker of Parliament has been very particular about that, and it's been one of his sticking positions with the majority leader or outgoing majority leader, Mahama Yar'Adua. They had profound disagreement on the Speaker's insistence that Parliament had to recall that. So that is the sense of what we get in terms of the urgent nature for which reason Parliament has been recalled. We also know that this means, and the Speaker's dicta, that he will not allow any business not listed in that President's letter will not be considered, means that the minority's motion that we understand was filed to probe the gold purchase program is not also going to happen. And we hear the minority deputy shortly, who is on the floor also speaking. We also know from the President's letter, and the President in his letter said he had consulted with the NDC and he had designated James Agalga as the acting majority leader. And the Speaker is speaking that the acting does not mean that there is no firm decision on James Agalga being a majority leader. It simply means that under the standing orders, it is not the President that designates someone as a majority leader. It is the majority party, obviously, in concert with their political party, the NDC, would have to do so. And that is why the terminology acting will be. So we expect that perhaps this very evening, James Agalga will go and take that black seat. So let's take you to the floor. The minority leader is making his remarks on this urgent business. He's already spoken about the losses they continue to attribute to Goodwater's operation. but perhaps we'll also hear him about whether or not they consider that these matters are urgent. Let's get to the floor and listen to Alexander Afenyo-Market.
Right, Kweku, we'll go to the floor of Parliament pretty shortly, but let me make some clarification here. The Deputy General Secretary of the governing NDC, Mustapha Bande, did say that he hasn't met somebody as corrupt as Afenyo-Markin ever in his life. I must say that as an institution, Joy News and the multimedia group, we disassociate ourselves from what he has said because the minority leader has always maintained his innocence. But as my colleague Kweku Asante rightly mentioned, let's take you to the House of Legislature where the minority leader Alexander Afenyo-Markin is currently speaking.
Anticipated the shock that met Ghanaians this month, that the government that they elected to reset the governance of this country has, under the watch of Gold Board and Bank of Ghana, lost $1.7 billion. At today's exchange rate, that is 22 billion cedis gone from a program that was meant to protect our gold, strengthen our cedi, and support our economy. Speaker, according to IMF report dated 17 December 2025 at page 3, paragraph 56, quote, losses from the domestic gold purchase program and gold boss activities should not be borne by the central bank and transparently brought on budgets. Further, the BOG should develop a clear and time-bound strategy for scaling down gold purchases, end quote. Speaker, we hold a firm view that this House cannot convene this week and be silent on that figure. It must become part of our deliberations so that the people of Ghana know that those in charge of implementation of policy must account to the people of Ghana. In keeping with that conviction, and in line with the relevant provisions of our standing orders, on the 20th of August 2026, we, the minority, filed, through the proper process, a motion demanding the establishment of an ad hoc committee under Order 2621A to investigate the loss in full. We ask that this House refer that matter to a committee empowered to summon documents, summon witnesses, and give Ghanaians the disaggregation they are owed. Not a summary, not a slogan. A full account of how much of that $1.7 billion was lost to foreign exchange movement, how much was lost in the prices at which gold was bought and sold, and what judgment, if any, guided the officials who made those decisions. Speaker and colleagues, this matters beyond the number itself. When the Bank of Ghana's own capital is eroded by losses of this size, it is a taxpayer who is called upon to recapitalize. Your city, my city, every Ghanaian city, called upon to rebuild an institution brought low by the decisions the public bears the cost of.
Right, that there is the minority leader Alexander Afenyo-Markin on the floor of Parliament. You're still listening to News Now here on Joy 99.7 FM. Remember, you can be a part of our show by sending us a WhatsApp on 055-1111-997. You can also feel free to send us a voice note. Let it be as brief as 30 seconds.
Incumbent General Secretary of the NPP, Justin Frimpong-Kodia, has urged party delegates to retain him in the October election, saying his re-election will help return the NPP to the Jubilee House in tonight. Battle it out with three other contenders, including former Subing MP Eugene Bwachienchi, Sylvester Tete, and Charles Jamina. Frimpong-Kodia has tipped himself as the candidate with the qualities needed to lead, unite, and ultimately return the NPP to power. He addressed party supporters at the headquarters after filing his nomination.
I've had an excellent relationship with the rank and file of our party, so it is not surprising that even those who were not supporting me are today with JFK. Yes. Because they know that JFK is a tolerant, accommodating person, is a very humble and respectful person. And that is what we need as a party. We are going to elections, and we have just 2 years to the general elections. We have had the general secretary, who has been part and parcel of the party's reorganization. Certainly, it will not make any sense to change the general secretary. We just have 2 years. In order for us to ensure continuity and make sure that the reorganization that we have started, the rebuilding that we have started, will come to a fruitful conclusion. And I come to you as a general secretary who is well prepared. And I come to you as a general secretary who is well positioned. And I come to you as a general secretary who is focused to ensure that we will build the party for victory in 2028.
He also described the NPP's internal election as one of the most peaceful in the party's history, attributing this to his efforts to reorganize the party and build renewed interest among its members. My colleague Fatao Bayaga was at the headquarters and now joins me in studio with more. Fatao, could you also spoke about being vindicated over his decision to adopt a top-bottom approach in selecting the party's leadership?
Absolutely, Gemma. So he said that the decision of the party to select its flag bearer before all the other positions, and he said that that was very key because doing that has, in a way, significantly united the party. So at the moment, there's unity within the MPP. You can listen to me on that.
At the point, some of you thought that the party was even going to collapse. But when the party decided to take a bold decision for us to have calmness, to have peace, and to have order in our party, we decided to take a decision that has never been taken before. A very decisive decision. At that time, very unpopular. When we said that in order for the party to have peace and calmness, we needed to start the lesson with our flag bearer. I remember when we took that decision, many people chastised the general secretary and members of National Council. But I can tell you that today we have been vindicated. By electing our flag bearer first, it has ensured that there is peace in our party. And the person who led that form for us to take that decision is your own general secretary.
So you heard the general secretary of the NPP, Justin Kodiak Frimpong, who wants to retain his position as the general secretary of the NPP. Ken, let's return to Parliament. Afenyo Marking has been addressing Parliament on the losses accompanying the domestic gold purchasing program, and he's making a justification for which reason he says Parliament should investigate Gold Board, the Bank of Ghana, and other institutions as well.
Economist alone, that is a matter of urgent public importance for this House under Order 114 of our standing orders, and we, the minority, shall treat it as such. Speaker, we make this point in a context that makes the loss even harder to accept. As we speak, Ghanaians in mining communities across this country continue to suffer kidney failure, lung failure, and other grave conditions at alarming rates because of the extensive that illegal mining visited upon our water bodies and our air. Come nothing short of a widespread epidemic. One this government appears to have neither the clue nor the courage to confront. So while Gold Board cannot account for 1.7 billion, an equivalent of 22 billion Ghana cedis, Ghanaians in our mining communities are paying with their kidneys, their lungs, and in other cases, their lives. This House owes them an answer too. Speaker, in the face of the allegations of extortion leveled against me, I have chosen to take high moral ground by submitting myself to the processes of the law. I have accordingly caused writs to be filed in suit number GT 1029/2026, entitled Osahin Alexander Afenyo Marking versus Samuel Edujemfi and Multimedia Group Limited at the Accra High Court, and suit number GR/ACH/CC/C5/02/2026, entitled Osahin Alexander Afenyo Marking versus Eric Kelly and my constituent. Mr. Speaker, I work with clear conscience and with fidelity to the responsibilities entrusted to me. I say so without more. Mr. Speaker, let me now turn to the issue of power in our country. Speaker, our nation was left in darkness. As if that wasn't enough, we must also draw the House's attention to the general state of power supply in our country. We ask that it be made a pivotal part of our deliberation this week. In the space of 1 month, Ghana has twice been plunged into total darkness. GRIDCO called it both times, quote, power system, end quote. The first was on the 29th of July. The second struck barely 3 weeks later, at the dawn of 20th of August, when a fault on the Akosombo water line tripped our generating units and left homes, hospitals, and businesses across this country without power for the better part of a day. Mr. Speaker, Ghanaians have received nothing beyond terse statements announcing the outage, and hours or days later, terse statements announcing its restoration. This was not the power sector Akufo-Addo and Bawumia government handed over in January 2025. In an age when a nation's electricity grid is rightly treated as core national security infrastructure, this House cannot allow such statement to substitute for real answers. We therefore give notice, in accordance with the ROTA provisions of Order 216-2D of our standing orders, of our intention to push that the Minister for Energy and Green Transition to appear before this House to account fully for the state of our power sector, and or that a probe be opened into causes of these outages. Speaker, we will not allow these matters to be swept under the carpet by press statements. Ghanaians deserve to know why the lights keep going out and what is being done to make sure that they do not go out again. Speaker, permit me to turn to the issue of weaponization of justice. While this government displays its inability in managing our treasury on the grid and elsewhere, there's one department in which it has shown troubling efficiency: the weaponization of our prosecutorial machinery against members of this caucus and, in general, former appointees of Akufo-Addo. We have watched that machinery deployed against our compatriots, including the Ashanti regional chairman of our party, Entribue Siakum, popularly known as Wuntumi. We have watched, most recently, a controversial warrant from the Chief Justice compelling the speedy prosecution of our members during judicial vacation, a period that has traditionally offered judges, lawyers, and litigants alike a season of rest. This matter, through the effort of one of our colleagues, Honorable Kojo Opon Kroma of Ofwasi Ayebi, is now before the Supreme Court for the appropriate legal redress. Speaker, the minority would want to be plain. This is a government that, in its first month in office, filed nolle prosequi after nolle prosequi to discontinue criminal cases against its own members, sympathizers, cronies, and assigns, while lining up its opponent before the court. We are clear on our minds what that pattern means. It is not pursuit of justice. It is an attempt to terrorize this minority into submission, one investigative summons at a time. Now our resolve, Mr. Speaker. Speaker, let me be equally plain in response. No matter how far this government goes to suffocate the rule of law in an attempt to weaken this minority's resolve, we will not bend the knee. We are fortified by the veritable words of the 26th President of the United States, Theodore Roosevelt, who on the 23rd April 1910 delivered an address at the Sorbonne in Paris titled "Citizenship in a Republic" during his post-presidential tour of Europe. And he said, and I quote, "It is not a critic who counts, Not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles, or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcoming, but who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who are the best, knows in the end triumph of high achievement, and who are the worst, if he fails, at least fails whilst daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat. End quote. Speaker, we in the minority know that the task ahead of us is difficult. We do not stand here pretending otherwise. The road before us is long. It is steep. It is strewn with obstacles and deliberately laid in our path. But difficulty has never been a reason for surrender. It will not become one now. We will rather be counted among those who dare greatly and stumble in a worthy cause than among the cold and timid souls who never know victory nor defeat. For however hard the struggle and however heavy the odds, this minority is resolved to remain in the arena, faces marred by dust and sweat, striving valiantly for the rule of law, for our democracy, and for the good people of Ghana who are honored to serve. Mr. Speaker, the people of Ghana sent us into this chamber to protect their interests without fear and to hold this government to account on every inch of executive decision it takes. We intend to keep that mandate without fear, without favor, and without apology. We will not be weighed down by threats, by bogus prosecution, by intimidation, or by frivolous accusation, whether directed at any one of us in this chamber or at any member of our party. For as long as we have life, for as long as we have good health, for as long as we remain members of this House, we will export what we see as wrong and insist on what is right. Yeah. Mr. Speaker, on the Cocoa Setter, let me commend the efforts for reforms by the Cocoa Board. However, the reforms being pursued, we, the minority, have identified some gaps. A law was passed. We hold a view that there wasn't sufficient consultations and that there should be further consultation regarding the concerns of the LBCs that were turned down by this government. Haulage or transport owners were not also properly consulted. We have also noted that farmers are now being required to seek permission from government before repurposing their farms. Farmers cannot even undertake routine, genuine actions without recourse to government. Mr. Speaker, farmers cannot sell their cocoa unless they are registered. This has never happened in the history of our country. Mr. Speaker, we call on the majority to reconsider these concerns and come before this House with a motion for rescission so that we can further deliberate on this matter and make input to enrich the bill before Mr. President signs. Mr. Speaker, this House should know that the two items we have given notice of today, on the gold bar losses and the other power outages, are only the beginning of clear paths in ensuring this government is held to account. Many more such efforts already in motion and will find full expression in this chamber in the weeks and months ahead. We do not intend to let a single matter of accountability rest, for it is said that he who comes to equity must do equity. In closing, Mr. Speaker, let me once again welcome all colleagues back into this emergency meeting. We did not ask to be recalled under these circumstances. No nation should have to be, but Ghana finds itself here, and history will record what this House chooses to do with this moment. It will record whether we looked away from nearly 22 billion Ghana cedis or whether we demanded every cedi to be accounted for. It will record whether we accepted their statement about a darkened nation or whether we demanded the light be restored and kept. It will record whether we allowed the machinery of justice to be turned into a weapon of political fear or whether we stood unbending in its way. Speaker, this minority knows which record it intends to leave. It is our hope that in all our dealings this week and in every week that follows, we will be guided by nothing less than the ultimate well-being and the interests of the Ghanaian people, to whom this House and every seat in it truly belongs. Mr. Speaker, I thank you for this treasure space.
Right, so that there is the minority leader, Alexander Afenyo, Markin there, who has made a long speech on the floor of Parliament, including the reported losses of 22 billion Ghana cedis by the Bank of Ghana. The House is still in session. The Speaker has taken his seat. Pretty shortly, we'll also be hearing from the majority side. This probably will be, Gemma, the first time that we'll be hearing from the new majority leader speak on the floor since that position was confirmed.
Honourable members.
On him. So, as I mentioned earlier, let's take you back to Parliament. The Speaker is on the floor.
Let us now listen to the Majority Leader.
So, the Majority Leader, as I mentioned earlier, will be making his first speech on the floor of the House since he became Majority Leader. Oh, that's quite interesting because we actually seen Mahama Ayariga rather speak on the floor of Parliament. So it appears he's not left after all. So let's listen to Mahama Ayariga.
Let me join the Right Honourable Speaker and my colleague, the Minority Leader, to welcome all of us back to this emergency recall of Parliament. I believe many of us have been unfortunately rudely interrupted in the enjoyment of our recess. Many have scheduled family travels, vacation times, medical checkups, and very important constituency assignments. And we have been asked to return to consider important national assignments. But looking at the numbers in the House, I want to commend all of us that in spite of the recess period and the many things that we scheduled, we have made time to respond to the Speaker's recall to come and attend to the urgent business that is before us. Mr. Speaker, the items before us relate to the passage of an important financial bill and the consideration of nomination of two of us, your colleagues, to join the executive arm of government. Mr. Speaker, we also have, as you have indicated, the consideration of three nominees to the Supreme Court. I want to assure colleagues that we will work together to consider the nominations within the time frame of 5 sitting days, which the Speaker has indicated. To meet this deadline, we will be required to suspend a number of standing orders which place some obligations on us in conducting our jobs at the Appointments Committee and as a House in the consideration of bills. I therefore urge colleagues to support motions that will be moving to request for abridgment of time to suspend some requirements of public notices so that we can accomplish the task within the 5 days recall that the Speaker has made. Mr. Speaker, I also want to thank my colleague, the Minority Leader, for his very kind words about me and my tenure with him in this House. Except to say, that I'm still the Majority Leader. I have not left yet. And I will soon be leaving. And when I finally will leave, I will deliver my address to the House, during which I would recognize my good days with him. And I want to thank him for all that we have accomplished together, working with integrity, with honesty, and with forthrightness in our relationship. I also want to urge colleagues that we are going to sit for only 5 days. I therefore urge colleagues as much as we can to attend the sittings for the 5 days period so that we can accomplish many of the things that we have indicated. Unfortunately, I want to appeal to my colleagues in the minority that many of the issues that you have raised, even though some may be germane, I unfortunately want us to abide by Speaker's directive that this House focuses on the urgent matters for which reason he has recalled the House. I know for sure that on several occasions in this House, the minority has raised the issue of the matters at Gold Board. And even though you have consistently tried to brand it as losses being run by an institution of government, I believe that I've also witnessed in this House that the minority has urged us to share the glory for the establishment of Gold Board with your flag bearer, Dr. Mahmoud Bawumia. And I know for sure that in the original design that the NDC government inherited, according to you, there were still what you call losses. Even if the losses have increased, it is because this government have pursued policies that have expanded the volume of gold that has been purchased by the government. Those are facts, and you know the facts. In this House, we have consistently demonstrated that what you call losses are actually costs that this country has to pay in order to maintain the strength of our currency today. What you call losses is cost that this country has to deal with as a result of maintaining the stability of our currency. All these things have been argued, and we have tried to make a case that this is perhaps one of the best policies that have ever been implemented by any government in this country, that has stabilized our currency, that has strengthened our city, and that has maintained inflation at a very low rate up to date. So, Mr. Speaker, having made these arguments, having come to this understanding, it is difficult to understand why consistently our friends in the minority want to brand what we all are benefiting from as an economy as a loss incurred by the gold board. I am surprised that we'll continue going along this tangent. But knowing the politics in this house, I know that there are those who believe that if you keep telling a particular story, no matter how untrue that story is, the public might begin to believe that that is the truth. And so I can understand why every single day my friends in the minority will try to pump into the brains of Ghanaians the wrong narrative that Gold Board is running losses. Even as they repeat the mantra that Gold Board is running losses, they are not in the same press conferences saying that as a result of the alleged loss of Gold Board, your city is now stronger than it was when MPP was in office. We are not also telling Ghanaians that as a result of the so-called losses of Gold Board, your inflation is stable. We are not telling Ghanaians that as a result of the so-called losses of Gold Board, we are paying our debts and we are being graded very highly by all the international rating agencies. So you may describe it as Gold Board losses, but we see it as an innovative national fiscal monetary policy that is stabilizing our currency, that is making our economy stronger, that is going to alleviate the poverty of many Ghanaians. And so we stand strongly behind Gold Board and the management of Gold Board. We stand strongly behind the finance minister and the management of the finances of this country. Whatever the World Bank has said, what I understand them to be saying, and the IMF, whatever they have said, I understand them to be saying that even though there will be losses based on the way we have designed the system, they expect it to be borne by the government and not by the central bank. And so reforms are underway to shift the transactions from the central bank to the government. And so I believe that ultimately your major concerns will be addressed. On the issue of energy, I want to assure you that I have the assurance of the Minister for Energy that by the end of September, the issues causing the power outages will be resolved. We are all in this country, and we saw the fire outage that destroyed the transmission substation at Akosombo. We all know that our gas suppliers are having a maintenance schedule which is reducing the supply of gas to the country. And again, we also know that a lot of our energy infrastructure is aging. And as a result of the aging infrastructure, we need to engage in routine maintenance and change. And during these periods, we'll be compelled to shut off the power in order to be able to carry out these routine maintenance activities. These, we hope, will be finished by the end of September, and the minister assures us by that time we will resume the stable power that we have been enjoying since John Dramani Mahama became president again. Yeah. Mr. Speaker, just to indicate that my colleague has raised the issue of the Chief Justice directive on legal vacation, I have always said that this House should not be interfering in the work of the judiciary. And so I will not comment on that, except to say that if I were an accused person before a court and the judge says that he will not go on vacation, he will spend time and dispose of my matter expeditiously, I'll be the happiest person. If I were an accused person, because every accused person who believes that he or she has not committed an offense wants the judge to expeditiously consider your matter so that you can rest at home, rest assured that you are not working with a court prosecution hanging over your head.
And so I am surprised that an accused person has the benefit of the judge presiding over his case, deciding to cancel his vacation so that he can attend to his matter. And that has become a subject of complaint and protest in the chamber of this house.
Right, that there is the Majority Leader, Mahama Ayaruga. Let's still stay in Parliament and speak to our resident correspondent, Kwiku Asante. Kwiku, what has the Speaker of Parliament, Alban Bagbin, been saying?
Well, the Speaker of Parliament has made a determination that no other business except the one for which this House was recalled will be considered. And so that will mean that the minority's motion on the domestic gold purchasing program will not come up for debate or any decision now. He has said, although, that he intends to actually admit the motion for a debate to ensue on the floor so that Ghanaians can make up their minds. He says Parliament will not cover up anything, but he intends to admit the motion. We should say that a similar motion in the past had been debated upon, and the vote had ensued. But the Speaker of Parliament says, in the interest of transparency, he intends to admit this motion once again for the House to debate it, and consequently take a decision as whether or not a committee will be set up or not.
Kwiku Asante reports to us from Parliament. Thank you very much, Kwiku. That's it for Newsnight, though. Unfortunately, for the sake of time, we are unable to bring you a number of stories, including your say. Thank you very much for being a part of the show this evening. My name is Kenneth Jesse.
My name is Gemma Appiah.
And don't forget to do the two this evening. Brush your teeth day and night with Pepsodent. Have a good evening.